Good morning. Welcome to Hebron Presbyterian Church, to those both here in person and online. Wherever you are coming from, whatever you are bringing with you from this week, we pray you will experience the restoring presence of the living Jesus here today. A few announcements. Pastor Noah is away this week, so we welcome to our pulpit our own Mac Curl. Thank you, Mac. Carol Middendorf has asked for 20 minutes for an announcement.
And I wanted to say, Brian, I can handle this, okay? This is not asking you to buy anything. It's not asking you to go online, to go on Amazon and order anything. It's about you. It's about the fact that this congregation is the most caring, giving, loving, and because of your generosity, we have everything we need to pack shoeboxes this year, except a few more of the last gift bulletin board. Thank you, and we're still collecting those, but we have everything else, and it's because of your generosity and your love, and I just want.
Thank you, Carol. Ronnie Knuckles is going to beat that with 35 minutes.
I'd like to echo what Carol said. At least I don't have to say it. But I'd like to give an update on the Niger Scholarship Fund. This year, we are right now at 27 students. The last couple of years, we've been 60. And it may be people just, if that's what it is, they'll be grateful for that. They ask for prayer. Anything above that is extra. But if you haven't given yet and you intend to, their school starts October 1st. So I need to give them an update. If we're going to be half of their normal past couple of years, I need to tell them that so they know how they can allocate scholarships. If you intend to give, just haven't done it, get an envelope or anything, just write on what you plan to give so we can include that. I make that call. But thank you for that. And online people, if technology is not to the point you can put something in the plate yet, but the office will be open next week. Just make a call and whoever answers, let them know your intentions. And I just pray that we can get closer to that number. Like I said, they don't need the money, they just need to know who they can scholarship and who has to stay home. So thank you.
Thank you, Ronnie. Are there any other announcements? We'll now hear from Martha Rogers for a minute for stewardship. Martha, if you'll come up, please.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm Martha Rogers, if you didn't know that. And I have been a member, Dan and I have been members of this church for 25 years. I can't believe it's been that long. And when I was asked to do this minute for mission, I thought, what am I going to say? And then the word that came out into my head was participation. And that's what stewardship is part of, participation, giving of your time and talents. And over the years, I've done reception committee, flower committee, decorating the sanctuary, hanging things out of the chandeliers, things like that. And I've also served as a deacon. And when I was a new deacon at one of the first meetings, they were talking about, well, you know, we need to get this done, we need to get this done. And I said, the shutters need painting. They're faded. And nobody jumped up, said anything. So I said, I'll volunteer to paint the shutters. Because I'd just done some at home. I had 12 at home, and they were painted and looked pretty good. So I thought, I can do this. I'm capable. Did you know that Hebron Church has 94 shutters? I found that out pretty quick. But they got painted, and I had a lot of help. And it was fun participation. It was fulfilling. So I guess that's the point of my mission message today. And just remember, that's part of stewardship, to give of your time, give of your talents. And prayer and faith can accomplish much, as we know about 94 shutters got painted. So Jesus tells his disciples in Matthew 17, and we've just talked about this in the women's Bible study, that faith, the size of a tiny mustard seed, can move a mountain. Nothing is impossible.
Thank you, Mom. Thank you.
Final announcement, please join us in Holman Hall following the service for fellowship. Now let us prepare our hearts for worship. Please rise and join me as we are called to worship. Our help is in the name of the Lord.
Who made heaven and earth.
Sing to the Lord a new song.
Sing to the Lord all the earth.
Sing to the Lord, praise his name.
Proclaim God's salvation day after day.
The same God who gathered us to worship now says to us, grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ in the communion of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Let us pray. God of all glory, on this first day you began creation, bringing light out of darkness. On this first day you began your new creation, raising Jesus Christ out of the darkness of death. On this Lord's Day, grant that we, the people you create by water and the Spirit, may be joined with all your works in praising you for your great glory. Through Jesus Christ, in union with the Holy Spirit, we praise you now and forever. Amen.
Amen.
Please be seated.
For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but shall have everlasting life. For God sent his Son into the world, not to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. Let us confess our sins against God and our neighbor. Most holy and merciful God, we acknowledge and confess before you our sinful nature. Prone to evil and slow to do good, we have wandered from your ways, wasted your gifts, forgotten your love.
You alone know how
we have sinned. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Cleanse us from our secret faults and forgive us our sins, so that we may live in your light and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name.
Amen. The saying is sure and worthy of full acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. He himself bore our sins in his body on the cross that we might be dead to sin and alive to all that is good. Hear and believe the good news. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Amen. Assured of God's forgiveness, let us confess the faith that holds us fast using the words of the Apostles' Creed. Christian, what do you believe?
I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. Third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, in the life everlasting. Amen.
Please be seated. Let us pray. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and your word is proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. Good morning.
Good morning.
So our scripture lesson today is from Matthew chapter 6, verses 1 through 15. Now listen to God's word. Beware of practicing your righteousness before others in order to be seen by them, for then you have no reward for your Father in heaven. So whenever you give alms, do not sound a trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, so that they may be praised by others. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward. But when you give alms, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your alms may be done in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And whenever you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, so that they may be seen by others. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward. But whenever you pray, go into your room, shut the door, and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. When you are praying, do not heap up empty phrases, as the Gentiles do, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Pray then in this way: Our Father who is in heaven, may your name be revered as holy. May your kingdom come. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. And do not bring us to a time of trial, but rescue us from the evil one. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So our sermon for today is titled it, The Forgiveness Imperative. And for those of you who our English majors or know about English. Imperative is a command. It tells us why we need to do something or gives us a command to do something. So our scripture today is that the sermon is built around is from Matthew 6, verses 14 through 15. For if you forgive other people, then when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, then your Father will not forgive you. So I'll start with a little story. George's phone rang in church by accident during prayers. That never here happens here. The pastor scolded him from the pulpit. The other worshipers admonished him after prayers for interrupting the silence. His wife kept on lecturing him on his carelessness all the way home. You could see the shame, embarrassment, and humiliation on his face. George never stepped foot in that church again. That evening, George went to a bar. He was still nervous and trembling from the accident at church. He spilled his drink on the table by accident. The waiter apologized and gave him a napkin to clean himself. The janitor mopped up the floor. The female manager offered him a complimentary drink, and she gave him a hug while saying, "Don't worry about it, man. Who doesn't make mistakes?" George has never stopped going to that bar. What's the lesson behind this little story? How often do our actions and attitudes as believers drive souls away from church? How often do our actions and attitudes break our relationships and destroy our friendships, our families, and our congregations? So why is forgiveness so important, so vital to us as followers of Jesus Christ? Matthew 6, 14, 15 is a direct teaching from Jesus linking our forgiveness of others to God's forgiveness of us. Forgiveness is a cornerstone of biblical teaching, reflecting God's character and shaping the way believers interact with one another. Christians are called to forgive each other for the at least eight reasons that are outlined in the scripture. These eight reasons are rooted in our faith, our relationship with God, and our interactions with one another. So you might ask, what are these eight reasons? If you don't ask, this is going to be a very, very short sermon. The first one is, because God has forgiven us. This is perhaps the most central reason. The Bible repeatedly emphasizes that just as God, through Christ, has forgiven believers their sins, they are called to extend the same forgiveness to others. And we hear this in Paul's letters to the Colossians and the Ephesians. In Colossians 3:13, bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord has forgiven you. And then Ephesians 4:32 says, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as Christ forgave you. Then the second reason, it's a direct command from Jesus. Jesus himself taught his followers the importance of forgiveness, making it an essential aspect of discipleship. Matthew and Luke make this clear. We've read Matthew 6, 14, 15, for if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive you. Luke 6, 37 says, do not judge and you will not be judged. Do not condemn and you will not be condemned. Forgive and you will be forgiven. The third reason is we want to receive God's forgiveness. As stated above in Matthew 6:14, our willingness to forgive others is directly linked to God's willingness to forgive us. This highlights the reciprocal nature of the divine and human forgiveness. The fourth reason out of the eight is to reflect Christ's example of forgiveness. Jesus himself demonstrated perfect forgiveness. Even in his suffering, His actions on the cross serve as an ultimate model for Christians. As recorded in Luke, as he was hanging on the cross, Jesus said, "Forgive, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." The fifth reason, to maintain spiritual health and peace. Holding on to grudges and old wounds can lead to bitterness, resentment, and a damaged relationship with God. Forgiveness, on the other hand, brings peace and spiritual well-being. This is pointed out in Hebrews. Hebrews 12:15 says, "See to it that no one misses the grace of God, and no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many." Sixth reason, to foster reconciliation and healthy relationships. Forgiveness is crucial to mending broken relationships and building strong, compassionate communities within the church and within our own lives. And Proverbs sums it up very nicely in 17:9 says, "Forgive someone and you will strengthen your friendship. Keep reminding them and you will destroy it." The seventh reason is to show God's love and mercy to the world. By forgiving each other, Christians demonstrate the transformative power of God's grace and love, which can have a positive impact on those outside of the faith. And I'm reminded of a story that Ronnie told us from Niger when some radical Muslims burned the Church of Niger's churches and their physical buildings. Nobody was killed, but you know, they destroyed the buildings. And the Christian church in Niger forgave those people for the deed that they did, and it so shamed the Muslim community that they wanted to help rebuild the churches. So the folks in Niger that we're supporting with our scholarships actually give us a great example of Christian forgiveness and the impact it can have outside of our community. And finally, on the eighth reason, because we're all sinners in need of forgiveness, recognizing our own fallibility and the need for God's mercy helps us to be more compassionate and forgiving toward others who have wronged us. As John tells us in the first chapter, verse 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive our sins and purify us from all righteousness. So let me give you two modern examples of Christian forgiveness. The first comes right after World War II. After surviving the Holocaust, Corrie Ten Boom, a Christian who helped Jews from the Nazis, became a powerful voice for forgiveness. At a church service in Germany, she encountered one of her former prison guards from the Ravensbrück concentration camp. The guard, who had been very cruel to her during the war, approached her and asked for her forgiveness. Corrie, despite her initial hesitation and the pain of her misery, our memories, prayed for strength and was able to forgive him. Her act of forgiveness liberated her from the bitterness of her past, and it brought peace and freedom to the guard who had been plagued by guilt. And finally, from the United States, an example. In 2006, a man entered an Amish schoolhouse in Nickel Mines, Pennsylvania, and shot 10 girls, killing 5 of them before taking his own life. Almost immediately, the Amish community offered forgiveness to the shooter and his family. The Amish visited his family, attended his funeral, and provided emotional support, demonstrating a radical form of Christian forgiveness. This act of grace was a profound witness to their faith and helped them move forward without being consumed by anger and hatred. It also brought immense comfort and a sense of reconciliation to the shooter's devastated family. And I believe I saw a trailer for a movie from the same studio that does The Chosen has done a movie about that incident. So when it comes out, it might be worth looking. In essence, for Christians, forgiveness is not merely an option, but it's a fundamental command and a reflection of our identity in Christ. It's about honoring God, embracing His grace, and living out the transformative power of his love in our interactions with others. May it also be for us. Amen. And we have a prayer for discernment. Let us pray. Lord, show us your will for Hebron and how you are calling me to serve. Amen. And please rise for our next hymn. Please be seated. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the many blessings that you pour out upon us each and every day of our lives. You are an awesome God whose goodness and mercy know no bounds. We ask that you pour out your healing spirit on this broken world. We pray for opportunities to spread the gospel and witness for you outside these four walls. Bless our Hebron congregation and let us be a blessing to all those in our community. Gracious God, we thank you for the free elections coming up in our Commonwealth. We are truly blessed to live in a nation where people are free to participate in their own governance. Give our elected officials on the national, state, and local level wisdom, courage, and guidance so that they make choices pleasing to you. We have a deep political divide in this country, and we pray that your healing spirit will close that divide and make us one nation under God. Our first responders and the men and women in uniform sacrifice so much to keep our nation safe. Please guard them both at home and abroad. Keep them safe as they go about their duties. Be with the people of North and South Carolina as they face the rain and winds of Hurricane Imelda. Send that storm out to the Atlantic, if it be your will. Heavenly Father, we will soon be approaching the Thanksgiving and Christmas seasons. Amid all the shopping and parties and family gatherings, let us not lose sight of the fact that we do indeed need to give thanks for your many blessings, the greatest of which is our Savior, your Son, Jesus Christ. And now, as our Savior has taught us to say, let us pray. Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Let us return to God the offerings of our life and the gifts of the earth. And will the ushers come forward? Father, we ask that you bless and use these offerings to increase your kingdom. Amen. Thank you. go now out into the world, and may the road rise to meet you. May the wind be at your back. May the rain fall softly on your fields. And may our Lord God hold you in the palm of his hand until we meet again. Amen.